Hello and welcome to another week of the Scotchcast for the week of August the 7th. I'm your host, Doc Vesenik. Joining me today is the one and only, and literally the only in this case, Noobarama.
Hello. Hi. Oh, have we started?
Yeah, we've started. That's
it. Hello. Hi. Yo, what's up?
This week it's just us two. We have no idea where anyone else is. Darbleton hasn't been online for a while, whatever. But we're doing a recording episode because it's been a pretty special week in a number of ways. Why was the week special for you, Noobarama?
Well, yesterday, at the same time, there were two debates, which was our national federal leaders debate for prime ministership.
Damn.
And also the Republican primary, the first of the Republican primary debates. One was a shit show. The other was also a shit show. So it's been an exciting day.
Awesome.
Yeah. But
did you watch these live?
No. See, okay. I was out drinking in a park, but yeah. I came back home and I saw both of them.
Were you drinking in a park alone?
No, I was looking at some children playing in the playground.
What do you mean you were drinking at a park?
No, me and a friend were drinking in a park.
All right.
Supposed to do that, but yeah. It's like at this point nobody cares.
Yeah, I swear we went through this last week.
Yes. But it was like a horrible mess. The park and the what is it? The Republican primaries.
But the children, they had clean faces. That's important.
Not after I was done with them.
Okay, let's move on before we can. The week was important for me because Gamescom happened. That was a thing.
Yeah. It did.
But you know why? Like, that was like of relative importance. Like, it was essentially, I didn't really follow it. It's not E3.
I didn't really follow Gamescom.
Yeah. What was really important to me this week was that I got lost in a visual novel for like...
Yes. I'm interested. Okay. So this is... Like, in terms of, like, a Japanese visual novel,
yeah.
What number, like, which, like, how many have you played before this, preceding this?
Oh, fuck. Depends what you call a visual novel, right? It's, like, for example...
Like, a classic definition of visual novels that, like, weebs would call a visual novel.
Then
so
this
not
would probably
like...
be... Oh, well, do you count Phoenix Wright?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then this would be, like, my 12th or 13th.
Like... excluding Phoenix Wright.
Okay, it's probably more like fourth or fifth.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
something like that, fourth or fifth visual novel. Like, visual novels, for people that know at home, are essentially just like choose your own story adventure books.
Although the one you played, it's less choose your own adventure and end the story or continue the story by making the wrong choice. There's no real like different ways to go about it.
Well, there's only like there's three. So the story we're talking about is Fate's Day Night.
Yes, and lots of game adaptations and anime adaptations. Fucks.
The reason I found it was like literally I'm sitting here going, okay, Fairy Tail went to shit like a little bit ago, and yes, that's me insinuating that it previously was awesome because it was. Fuck you.
Ew, what the fuck?
I read
about like 250 chapters of Fairy Tail until I finally realized that it was awful. It was shit.
What arc does that put you at? Where'd you
I don't remember. It was the arc where there was an enemy, and then they fought become friends, and they worked together. So it was really any of the arcs, because that's everything that demographic of manga. It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Here's
it's
the
like,
thing, though, right?
You're my enemy, and we're friends now to fight this enemy, and now we're all friends, and then we gotta fight this.
But Noobarama,
a load of shit.
As we all know, the power of friendship solves all problems.
Yeah, that's true.
So if anything, they're realistic renditions of what would happen in those situations.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how things work. Like, especially Vegeta, like that guy's really cool. Fairy Tail anime has awesome music, which is part of the reason.
Oh my god, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Freaking awesome like Celtic rock music. It's sick.
Oh.
So I stopped watching that, which means I needed a new anime. Action anime to watch, and I kept getting recommendations for Fate. So to be clear for people here, people at home, it's Fate /Stay
Night.
Space Night. Yeah. I can't get a recommendation for Fate Stay Night, and then I...
Okay, so wait. Before we talk about the anime, right? There are two animes of Fate Stay Night. There was, like, one from 2007.
Yes.
Which sucks like a hairy asshole. So it's like 2006. It's awful. Do not watch that.
Yeah, I've heard
that will
yeah.
fucking ruin it for you. There's a new anime that I think that's...
It's called Unlimited Blade Works. Yeah.
So essentially, there are, like, three different games within Fate. And essentially, they play the same story from different views and, like, different timelines.
Mm.
So it's sort of like an alternate reality in each of the three.
Yeah.
So the Unlimited Blade Works is like the last one of the three.
No, it's the second last one. The last one is Heaven's Feel.
There's only three, so it would be the second one. Not the second last.
Yeah, so it's the Heaven's Feel is the last one.
Okay, Heaven's Feel, that's right. Yeah. I'm getting them confused. But yes, watch the anime. Also, not the movie. Don't watch the movie either. Because there's
actually,
also
you know what? Don't watch the don't watch the anime. I don't think so. Like I think that's
really
dumb. Yeah, because all right, so let's just lay out what the fuck this is. Okay, so Fate Stay Night is a story based in a universe. And I really apologize to people who don't like anime at home. But too bad. Yeah, it's me and Noobrama.
Too fucking bad.
You're either going to get like fucking random sex talk or anime. Yeah, you'll get something. I didn't think there'd be a me and Noobrama episode like close to the previous one we did. But fuck it. This is what you're getting.
Okay.
So, Fate Stay Night is this universe where every number of years, before it was like every 40 years, but for some reason the recent past is like every 10 years, the Holy Grail comes to Japan. Don't ask me why it's Japan.
It's anime, like, right?
It's anime.
It has to take place in Japan, right?
So, the Holy Grail comes to Japan and it grants one wish to the person who obtains it. It selects seven people to compete for using it, and for those seven people, it resurrects heroes from the past to fight for them.
Right. So, like, all throughout human history, right? So, anywhere from, you know, the ancient history before Christ to Anno, whatever, AD, it'll get heroes from across the world, and they will be brought forth by magicians of the present day.
So think like, and this isn't spoiling anyone in the actual game, because the reveals are actually kind of interesting. But think of like people like Camlin or Kusith or like either Paul crazy. Bundy. Yeah, it could be crazy animal heroes or like heroes can have like animals with them. So like it's not like there's potential for dragons to be summoned, all that kind of. Anyway, so like Saint George would potentially be a hero that could potentially be summoned to fight for someone. In this war,
Or even Lee Harvey Oswald,
Or like Michael Jackson.
See, you're not getting the references because Paul Bundy was a horrible rapist murderer, and Lee Harvey Oswald was the guy who shot JFK.
I'm pretty happy.
See, if you understood.
I'm pretty happy. I didn't get that. I'm not a history guy. I'm not a history guy. You're the history
That's
guy.
Fair enough.
We have
That's
you,
fair.
Lee Harvey Oswald. You see. Anyway, whatever. So essentially, they get summoned, and it's actually kind of interesting because the game has all these like weird video gamey kind of trappings where there's like a stat screen for each of the enemy heroes as you meet them through
that
the storyline.
That simply exists. That it's meaningless. It's just there for enhancement of the story.
Yeah, it is equivalent. Yeah. And also, like, the stats on it are, like, equivalents of the over 9,000, where it's, like, a scale from E to A, and then suddenly you get an A+, and then you get, like, an A++, and then you get, like,
an
EX. EX was the highest rank I saw in my playthrough. But it's cool because like you get like the A version of the histories of the characters that you meet through the storyline.
I mean, it sounds fucking dumb, and to a degree, it is pretty dumb.
Yeah, it's anime.
But it is a super drama heavy story.
Oh yeah,
intermixed with some comedy and like slice of life.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Like, obviously, you play a male high school student, and you
of course.
And you get saved by like a very attractive female hero from the past, and shit gets real from there. But even that all aside, like I really love Like, you may be, like, a recent, like, a modern history kind of guy, but for me, I'm the kind of, like, I'm a fantasy kind of lore kind of
ancient like when history. They distort facts to make it weird?
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, stuff like, well, the Persona series is really famous for this. Like, that series is filled with you summoning spirits, which are, in many cases, like, again, Tamlin or Chu Chai-Lin or, what's his fucking name? The best fucking whatever. Yoshitsune, the best fucking character in that game. It's full of like these ancient people from the past and has their histories, etc. That's a really cool. That idea of like summoning ancient heroes to fight against each other is pretty fucking cool to me. I don't know what. Anyway,
it's slavery, but yes, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the story kind of takes twists and quite a few twists and turns. But you're right. Like, it's not really. I ended up just playing through it with a FAQ because if you make a single error, unless it spawns you off into a different branch, you're just instantly dead. Essentially.
So essentially, right, it's not some visual novels allow leeway. You can make a choice and then they'll take you to different places. Yeah. Of course those exist, but those don't exist in the major plot points. They exist sort of like in conversation and like in more lighthearted, a little bit more levity in those situations.
Yeah.
But when like shit gets down and you're in like an action sequence of the visual novel and you click the wrong one, most likely like everybody will die and then you will have to restart over again.
Yeah. Or just save scum like a smart person.
So have you multiple times gone to the Tiger Dojo?
No, I've never gone to the Tiger Dojo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Were you doing a guide or were you just...
Well,
you
know,
it's pretty common sense.
I used a guide for the like outside of combat sequences, and I save scummed through the combat. But apparently, I just chose the right shit the whole time. But I've seen the actual tree, so I saw that you can fail at like, and how quickly those failures can happen.
There's like 18 different fail points. There's 18 different something like that, some ridiculous number.
But in actual combat, like if you stay in character, then I don't think you ever. I think it's pretty easy to get through that thing without dying. Right. I didn't die. But it was definitely a case of like I would say play the game first because what it does is it has three paths. Again, as we said earlier, there's the Fate Path, which is the basic one. Then you have Unlimited Blade Works, which is a
I think Path is a bit misleading because you have to finish the first. It's more of a linear progression.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was saying it has three paths, and you can get into them, but you only ever get the bad ending if you don't finish Fate first.
Yeah.
And then if you finish Fate first, then you can get the good ending of Unlimited Blade Works. And if you finish that, then you can get into and get the good ending of Heaven's Feel.
Or true ending. Good ending. Because there are good endings and then there are true endings and they're different.
Yes. And then if you get all five endings or like me, fucking just watch it on YouTube, you can get the true ending of the Fate Path, which is the only like ending that I find acceptable for that entire fucking thing. But more importantly, Tosaka is a piece of shit and deserves to die. I hate her character.
Really?
I hate Tosaka.
She's a tsundere.
Oh my god.
That's the term.
Yeah, that is actually the term. You accurately remember that archetype for Japanese anime females, well played.
I pretended to know less, but in reality, like, dude, I read a lot of Japanese cartoons, a lot of Chinese cartoons.
So Tosaka is a piece of shit, and Fate is clearly the cool chick that you're supposed to go
Fate?
For.
Fate? What? You mean Sorry, Saber?
Saber, yeah, fucking. This Fate route is the cool chick.
But essentially, right. So, I don't know if you know this, but, okay, so these games are published by a company called Type Moon, and this universe takes place in an even bigger universe
with
multiple different games.
Yeah.
Right? So, essentially, they share characters and side characters. Some of the side characters in the story will come in from a different game called, what is it called?
Fate
oh my god.
Night Moon? Fate Stain?
No. Oh, man, what is it? Okay.
I forget. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, there's a couple. Essentially, there's this other big story that takes place, and then there's another one, a third one.
Yeah.
And they have interlocking characters and, you know, and because the games themselves are ultimately quite tragic in the end, or at least very bittersweet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of happy, fun spin-off animes that are just all comedy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think would you? So did you enjoy it overall?
Okay, all right. I need to backtrack this. So again, the way I got this was highly illegally because you can't. It has never been translated to English proper.
Yes.
So it's only been fan translated, and really like to get that working is to get the fan patch, etc. So fuck it, whatever. I got it that way. Judge me if you will. But the main thing is, you have a choice when installing the fan patch to the original game. You can either choose the censored version or the uncensored version. Now, as you know, with me and Noob Realm in the past, we are very much advocates of always get the uncensored
version. Sexual deviancy, I think that is the correct terminology.
Always get the uncensored version. A, because it is the original intention, but B, because sex is awesome. So yeah, I definitely got that. But the issue came into it where it turns out if you actually give a shit about characters in an anime or video game, them just having sex and stuff kind of breaks parts of that. Especially when it gets
unless the game is revolved around romance, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And in Fate Stay Night, it definitely has like some scenes.
It is like fucking Crowbarred into the worst possible, the first time around.
The first time was when I was like, ridiculous. I don't want to play this game anymore. Like I almost stopped playing. Like just straight up, it's the most the horribly done.
And it's like, and it's definitely wedged in because for the scenes there's no voice acting or anything, which other games have if it's geared towards that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, get the uncensored, like the censored, because there's no point. It's genuinely not worth it. Even if you're a disgusting pervert, you're not going to get enjoyment out of just this. It's put in the worst possible spot. It's really gross.
You would only get enjoyment out of it if, for some reason, you skipped the whole game, only watched those scenes, did your business, and then played it.
Because, it's not good.
I generally do not skip scenes in visual novels because why would you? That's the entire point of the fucking thing. But like these were just like cringeworthy, disgusting nonsense that shouldn't have been there and don't fit in the plot. Mm-hmm. So that really affected what I thought of it. And it got to the point where, especially with those scenes cropping up, I only saw two of them, whatever. I'm not sure if there's many more. I assume in the other pods, there are other sex scenes, and I don't want that.
Yes, there are, with different, because essentially each of the roots have a different
focus character.
Female focus character.
Yeah.
Like the second one is Rin, and then the third one is the
Sakura.
Sakura. Yeah. See, hers is interesting because she's really fucked up, but
I heard that she's fucked up, and I've heard there's an interesting but also kind of totally creepy path.
There's an exceptionally creepy path,
but I have no interest in going back. In fact, I deleted the game after I finished with it. It's mainly because I felt that the core story, again, without those scenes in it, so if people at home are remotely interested in a relatively good visual novel / anime-esque thing, the core story is relatively strong. They do enough in the way of subtle storytelling in like dropping hints for certain elements of it throughout the length of the story, that when like twists happen later, you do get that like really satisfying, like, oh right, yes, okay, that thing which I noticed from earlier and stood out to me does actually come back and is explained, usually in a good way. That's really cool. The kind of like the it gets pretty dark in a way I like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like rape dark.
No.
Like,
no.
Story dark.
Yeah. Like the horrors of the man is the real monster kind of shit. Like that kind of stuff comes up near the end, which is kind of cool. And definitely, it all came down to how it ended for me, because again, like I was really sticking with it. Like I love the ancient heroes kind of ideology, and I'm like all these like great things of the past, like facing off against each other. I really love that kind of shit. So I was really sticking to it. Then that first romance sex scene happened, and that was kind of fucked up, and I didn't like it. And then I stuck with it from there because I kind of wanted to see how the story revolved. And then the date scene happened, which was fucking adorable, and they kind of run me back over. And then the rest of the story played out. And in that case is when I used the guide because I wanted to find the true ending. It turns out when you get the true ending of the Fate route, it's like a really bittersweet ending. And yes. Then if you finish every route and get every ending, you get that true ending, which I watched on YouTube.
Which is still bittersweet.
I don't think so. I think it's happy. I don't know.
Really? I don't think it actually happens.
I think it actually happens. Yeah, totally. Because, like, stuff you find out about, like, who Archer is, for example. Like, I just read up on this afterwards. Like, who Archer actually is and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of sick. It's kind of cool how that all that kind of shit turns to it.
So, did you enjoy it, minus the gross parts?
I'd say it's probably... It's definitely a visual novel that's worth playing if you like visual novels and play the uncensored version.
Don't play the uncensored version, you mean?
Sorry, yeah, and don't play... And play the censored version. Play the censored version. It's definitely a visual novel worth playing, and I'm happy I played it rather than watching the anime.
Do you know what you should watch, though?
What?
Fate Zero, which is the prequel anime, and it's actually really, really good.
I heard Fate Zero was really... Is that about the first?
That or is the prequel. Previous? That is the one before, yeah, the previous, the fourth Holy Grail War.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really good. It is actually amazing. Yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that, because if they are true to the story, then the way that...
It's not Star Wars, right? It's like... It works within the story.
No, I mean, like, the way that... I'm trying to figure out how I can say this without spoiling anything. Saber's previous master. The previous master of the Saber character.
Yes.
If that is done how it was, like, how it says it is in the novel. Yes, I'm not sure if I want to see that. Because Saber's, like, who I like most. Like, I don't really want to see that kind of...
Oh, no. Well, Saber is in the... She is the main character.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, so it's from her perspective. Okay.
No, well, she is prominently featured.
Okay, right. So is her master... Like,
anime, like the anime, the way it's done, because it's not a visual novel, it's not mm-hmm. told in a first-person perspective.
Yeah.
It is simply... So it'll be switching between characters and scenes, obviously. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, as a... I would recommend
that.
Is the guy she fights at the end in a lot of that anime? The end of the previous war?
The end of the previous war?
Yeah. I'm trying not to spoil this war.
It's really difficult not to spoil because you'd be using
her. Yeah.
Yes.
So he's the same.
The yellow haired dude?
Is he yellow haired? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the yellow haired dude with red eyes. Yeah, with red eyes. Yeah, and big.
He is. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really cool fucking reveal. For me, as like, who could this person be? Who is... Because, like, the whole thing about it is, like, these ancient heroes come from the past, but they don't reveal who they are to each other. Because
it's really enjoyable if you've actually read the visual novel, which you have. So you'll make extra enjoyment. It's really good. It does the story very well, and it connects it very well. And also, for people who don't like visual novels, it's an excellent, like, independent thing on its own.
Like, because, the cool thing is that these heroes come from the past, but if... Because, like, they're now outside of time, they all know each other. So if you know who the enemy is, that gives you an advantage because you know their weaknesses and their strengths. So they hide themselves from each other in many ways, and they hide their, like, special abilities, etc., from each other. And that makes really cool, like, oh, damn! Moments in the actual VN, which is really enjoyable to me. Because I love, like, stupid, I played my trap card kind of moments. Like, I love that kind of shit. Stupid Yu-Gi-Oh! Reference, but there you go. I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. I played it for fucking, 12, 13 hours this week to finish it. So, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. I wanted to get it done before this show. But anyway, that's our visual novel moment and all I was playing this week. So I guess we're already in that part of it. What have you done this week, Nubarama?
I'm ashamed to admit that I have been in a Dota fix. The Dota bender.
Damn! Dota 2 or Dota 1?
I played like a good 15 hours of Dota 2 this week.
Damn. I didn't know you were a Dota fiend.
No, I'm not. Like, I played a bunch of Heroes of New Earth in the past.
Right.
But yeah, just for some reason I wanted to play like a multiplayer competitive game.
Yep.
And it wasn't going to be fucking Counter-Strike.
So yeah, Dota was the one that got the fix. And for some reason, it's just like, I've been bothering my friends. Let's play Dota and Dota.
Well,
I seem to have picked the worst time because the Dota International Tournament is going on.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to play Dota. They just want to watch it.
Yeah.
So
have you gotten into that? Like, has that worked?
No, I fucking hate watching video games. I realized. Oh. And I've also finally today jumped back into Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, shit.
It's going to fucking kill the rest of...
Thank you. Wait, fucking finish that game. When are you close to the end?
Well, the thing is, right? I stopped playing at about 65 hours into the game.
Jeez.
And I'm starting over again.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Why are you doing that? Why?
And the thing is, I'm not finding it repetitive because it's been like a year gap.
Right.
And it's really good. It is a fucking amazing
game. Well, if you're going to do it like that, then at least just fucking mainline it so you can finish the game this time.
I'm playing the exact same kind of character, the same class, the same race, and I'm going to play exactly the same and 100% it.
You're not going to 100% it. You know in your heart that you're not going to 100%
it. No, as long as my computer doesn't die, I'm going to. As long as nothing keeps me away from it, I think I'm going to be okay.
How about Fallout? Like, what if Fallout happens before you 100%?
No, I'm going to finish. Oh, it's not going to happen before. See, I'm gonna aim to play maybe about 8 hours a day for the rest of the
month. Well, are you in holidays or something at the moment? Or
yeah.
Oh, okay. Holidays. Yeah, you can beat that game. It only took me 100 hours to 100% of that game.
Exactly. And I also know what to do.
Yeah. That's definitely important. And you don't have to figure out the systems. You already know them to some extent.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, are you going to go Night Enchanter? Is that your... your main path, or
fuck, I don't even remember that. What is that?
If you're start as a mage and then go to the...
Oh no, I started as a human sword and shield.
Okay, all right. So you can't.
I think I did the champion or something.
Champions, is that the tank? Is that the tanky one?
The tank. Yeah, I went for the tanky one.
Yeah, that one's okay. I honestly, at the end of that game, all you really need to do is focus on deeps. As long as you have one tank on your team. Wow, someone is actually vacuuming my fucking house. God damn it. People at home hopefully won't hear it because I'll fucking get that shit out of the recording. Or at least try to, but God.
Oh, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
But I'm focusing on just getting lots of stuns. I love the stuns. Stuns are really good.
Right.
Stuns and crowd control. I'm playing it like an MMO.
Do you have another? Like, do you have someone capable of doing good deeps?
Well, Cassandra is like I'm bringing along every time.
You're doing
Cassandra's my waifu.
So two sword and shields.
Two sword and shields. A Lamel.
You're never going to finish this game.
It takes so long to
kill things. That
way.
Oh my god! Are you going to fight the dragons?
Of course.
Like, if you're going for 100%, you kind of have to, right?
Of course, I'm gonna do every single shard, every single painting, every single bottle on the fucking wall, and I'm not gonna stop.
Yeah. God, Dor, I highly recommend having Dorian and Varric. Oh, I forgot what his fucking name, the dwarf guy on your team. They're solid.
Varric, yeah,
yeah. Dorian is my favorite character by far. That's the gay dude, right?
Dorian, yeah, the gay mage. Yes,
yeah, he's fantastic.
He's great.
Noise. I'm literally just typing down notes to myself. 29 minutes in for noise in BG. Yeah, so like I definitely recommend having them. They also have like pretty good intertalk. The Bull and Vivian probably have the funniest stuff I've seen. If you pair them,
I like
up.
Cassandra and Varric. That's a good.
Yeah,
they do good chemistry.
Varric
especially
is
with the
overall
books.
Like a solid dude to have.
He's hilarious. Yeah, lots of chest hair.
Yeah. But yeah, so you've been playing Dragon Age. Anything else?
Well, Dragon Age was only today, right?
Okay, but Dota was most of it.
Dota was like, I played a lot of Dota.
Are you playing multiplayer fucking... Dota? Or like?
Well, yeah, of course.
Right.
I've been playing a lot of solo, like, random, like a queuing, solo queue, because I genuinely just want to play. I'm finding it fun.
Yeah.
I'm curious how long it's going to last. I mean, I think Dragon Age has already probably stopped it.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah.
I hope you stick with Dragon Age of those two, to be honest. I don't need another MOBA player on this fucking podcast.
I don't like I think I'm gonna burn out of MOBA very quickly. Because I've been on a winning streak and I know as soon as I get my first few losses, it's gonna be over.
So here's the thing, right? Dota is probably one of the best designed games of all time. I wouldn't fault you for loving it, but at the same time, it's just normal.
No, but it's like I've played MOBAs that are straight up Dota ripoffs, and I've played the original Dota.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
Okay.
Like I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it within limits. Like I'm playing maybe like 3 to 2 hours a day, and I have most of the day off. So I'm not playing that much. I also bought there's an Origin sale where I also picked up the Dragon Age expansion, which is partly why I'm going into Dragon Age again. But I also bought Battlefield 4 Premium finally.
Right.
And interestingly, like the day after I bought it, they announced that they're going to do a nighttime DLC, which is really interesting. They're going to make a nighttime map and add a bunch of weapons and mechanics, which is really cool. so I don't know if the sales is going to be on later, but it's still on right now. You can get it for half off or more, actually. Jeez. So now is the time to get Battlefield. Yeah, and a lot of people are still playing it. And Hardline, not a lot of people are playing Hardline. So Battlefield 4 is still until Battlefield 5 comes along. The big FPS that's not Call of Duty.
Yeah. Again, great game. Not my thing.
Right.
For those people at home. But
it is a mindless shooter. Absolutely. Yeah.
As clearly demonstrated, I tend to be more of a fucking story-based / visual novel.
Yes, yes. I do those things too. Although not quite limited, just visual novels.
No, of course not. No.
But there was a time in my life where I was like staying up until 5 in the morning playing visual novels back-to-back. Wow. And it was one of the most disappointing parts of my life.
You know what? Like, I've been known to read books like...
Because you've read sci-fi books. Yeah. I was playing fucking trashy rom-com visual novels.
Okay, slight difference in like caliber of entertainment, right. I would probably say.
Absolutely.
Slight, you know.
They're comedy. It's comedy.
Yeah.
And then it's like adult visual novels.
But rom-com is one of those things, and adult visual novels are one of those things that can be like really... If you let yourself get into it, it can be incredibly compelling.
Yeah, I also watched a shit ton of rom-com movies recently with friends. Just like, I'd have friends come over, like over to friends' house, and we'd just like sit and fucking binge watch, like, The Proposal or Dan in Real Life. It's really bad. I don't know what's happening to me. But yes.
You know what? As you
becoming
get older,
a middle-aged woman.
I wouldn't necessarily restrict to sex, but as you get older and like stuff like sex gets like way less, it's all like, and starts becoming...
But like rom-coms as in like, it's not the sex that's appealing. It's like,
it's primarily
marketed towards like women, right?
Oh yeah. No, rom-com specifically, is definitely one of those things where I think it's part of human nature to, for like the will they won't they
pleasure.
Hook up.
It's a guilty pleasure, yeah.
Yeah, like will they won't they is like a core part for some reason of human like thinking.
But the thing is with the movies, right? It's not even will they won't they, because you know it's gonna be they will.
They will. But it's always will. I mean spoilers, they always
like
do.
Yeah. Yeah. Except maybe like a movie like 500 Days of Summer, which is like more, I guess, complex, and there's more.
But those movies are great because they don't. And it's like, not to spoil 500 Days of Summer, but surprise, he's remembering it in the past.
There's only 500 days.
Yeah, it's kind of like, but it's one of those things. But as a risk to like fucking A, going too long because I only have like an hour left, and B, creeping out people at home, we should move on. I just do need to state like as soon as you get past like creepy, it does become compelling when you actually start like investing yourself in characters and so on.
Right.
It's absolutely like the same thing with like as you get older, books with like total like erotic scenes in them become less they don't jar.
Are you telling
as
me
much.
You're a huge fan of 50 Shades of Grey?
Absolutely not. But stuff like the Dresden Files, where there are like a bunch of sex scenes and stuff,
right?
And that's like a legitimately like award-winning, one of the best fantasy series out there.
Absolutely.
It just becomes less of a thing. So anyway, moving on to I guess news. Like we were blitzing through this episode, which I'm happy about. We're doing pretty well. The news this week is actually quite a bit. Did you want to talk about anything specific? Because I just have a couple of notes here.
I don't know anything on news this week. I've been following it.
So Gamescom happened this week. There's a couple of takeaways from Gamescom. I only picked three because honestly, of everything that happened, those are the only three big ones I really gave a shit about. The first one was the Microsoft press conference for Gamescom. Again, like we're not going to go into it deeply. A, I'm the only one here who saw it, but B, it wasn't actually that eventful. They essentially showed the things that they promised they'd show, which I guess is a good thing. So, for example, they showed Quantum Break, starring none other than Jake from Animorphs.
Nice.
That totally surprised me. I didn't know he was the main character, also known as Iceman from X-Men, apparently, as they introduced him on stage. That's kind of creepy. That's kind of weird. They went, because it's like not even more recent X-Men movies. It's like the first X-Men movie. It's like, what are you doing? But yeah, like Jake from Animorphs is there. And it seemed. Jesus Christ.
Oh man.
That game actually looks totally awesome. Like it's one of those like time-based shooters where like you're doing these weird things like slowing time, obviously, but also stuff like freezing people in time and like shooting at them and then unfreezing time so the bullets all hit them at once and stuff to do more damage and all that kind of thing. It seems like the mechanics are if not a little bit rote, at least interesting. And the story actually seems pretty cool. So it's got like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones in there, as the main evil dude. And it's about like this time travel incident that happened and like these two people trying to either fix or eventuate. It sounds like that incident and seems pretty interesting. Then they had, so I was like a major player and I think probably my favorite game shown there. It was pretty cool. They also showed, Crackdown, which I have no interest in. Sorry for people at home. And they showed fucking Scalebound.
What the hell is Scalebound?
So Scalebound is the new game by Platinum, who are famous for things like Bayonetta and Vanquish.
Oh, gonna be on the Wii or the 360 exclusive?
Xbox One exclusive. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a game where you play a dude who's like half dragon or something, and you are you have a dragon pet slash familiar slash friend, and it's all about you like flying that dragon around and fighting big monsters and shit. That game, it looked really cool before, and seeing more of it just kind of looks like a shitty version of Monster Hunter. Combined with a shitty version of a Final Fantasy game. It's just like, yeah.
To be honest, like if it came out on the PC, I would pick up a shitty version of Monster Hunter because there's not enough of those in general.
It's I don't know. The main character seems to be like Dante from the new DMC, but like less likable, if that's possible.
I thought the one in the new DMC was not likable.
Exactly. I really liked the Dante from the new DMC, but like most people didn't. I liked him because he was not likable. He was like one of those. He's an anti-hero, right? And you can get behind that sometimes. I really fucking love DMC. Like for people at home, DMC Definitive Edition, whatever the fuck it's called, HD Remaster, whatever the hell, is totally awesome. You should play it. Yeah, so he's just like that, and the action seems kind of clunky, even though it's a Platinum game, which makes even less sense to me. It just kind of looks like, I don't know. Biggest surprise from this show, aside from Dark Souls 3 still looking awesome, which probably isn't surprising, is Homefront, the new Homefront game.
I don't think it's going to be very good, but hey, you know, maybe.
Did you see the trailer for it?
Yes.
I thought that was really impressive.
Well, okay, the trailer looked really good.
Yeah, but it had gameplay in it.
It's also Homefront. It's also... yes! They bought the Homefront IP.
Yeah, from some it's Crytek making Homefront.
But I mean, Crytek...
Hasn't actually made a good game since Crysis?
Yeah, one. I didn't even like Crysis 1 that much either.
But like, they always had solid action, and unlike Crysis, the idea of a revolution... sounds interesting, I guess.
I mean, it's in a ridiculous setting.
Oh yeah, like North Korea cannot take over America.
That's no, just... North Korea could not take over North Korea.
Yeah, North Korea can't take over South Korea.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a weird country. Yeah. But it looks like, I don't like the look of the game.
Really?
Yeah, like, we're talking about the trailer with the little kid, right?
Yeah, like, that stuff, whatever, but, like, the enemy design looked terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't look like that. The character models, I'm not, like, I'm not, the artistic look, I'm not buying.
That's the thing.
Like, it tries to be realistic and cartoony at the same time.
I actually really like the character models in City.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's probably, like, a major reason why I like the look of it. But I can definitely see why someone wouldn't, and they like the look of that. But that was actually probably my surprise of that conference. Hey, they still haven't shown much of the Halo single player, which continues to make me concerned. But like looking at that conference as a whole, like when Quantum Break comes out, I'll probably get an Xbox One. That's probably where I'm standing right now.
Okay, wait. No, now the setting is it's not going to be North Korea, apparently.
Really?
It's going to be a globe-spanning Korean corporation.
Oh, shut up.
No, that's what PC Gamer says, is under the oppressive control, the Philadelphia, city of Philadelphia, and the rest of the U.S. is under the oppressive control of a globe-spanning Korean corporation.
A Korean corporation? What does that even mean? A South Korean Samsung corporation? Like Samsung? Samsung hires PMCs. Let's just mash everything together. Exactly. War never changes. Like, it's, yeah, let's fucking... put everything in that one game. No, I don't know. Like, I like the whole, like, even though it doesn't make sense, because as a person who's put a scope on a rifle, the amount of zeroing you need to do is actually pretty serious. Like, him, like, just sitting there, or, like, behind cover, and then, like, snapping off a scope and putting on a new scope of his rifle is fucking cool from a gameplay perspective, but it doesn't make
sense. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I like those ideas. If the story is compelling, which is probably too much to ask, I'd probably play it. But that, yeah, as I said, Crytek story, and nowadays Crytek and good games don't really, or like all those things don't really mix, so we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so that happened. I didn't watch the new Metal Gear Solid 5 trailer.
Which is surprising. I thought you would have.
Mainly because like I'm now at a point where I want to play Ground Zeroes, which I still haven't done yet, before I expose myself to Metal Gear Solid.
Well, you won't get it on PC, but I don't know if it's the same, but on PC you get both Ground Zeroes and the new one if you buy the new one.
Oh, that's cool. That's really good. Ground Zeroes is only 2 hours long, but like it sets it up. And I also want to like fucking watch the rest of Peace Walker, which probably will never happen because it's like a 30-hour set of videos that's sitting on my hard drive from a Let's Play of it. I want to do that before playing 5. I'll probably see what the reviews are like of 5. I don't know. Something will happen. I will play Metal Gear in time for our Game of the Year discussions. But beyond that, I can't really say for certain. So that happened. Didn't watch that. Two big trailers, aside from the Homefront one that came out at E3, for me, one was the Final Fantasy 15 trailer. I assume you didn't watch it.
No.
Okay. It was actually really nice.
Was it spiky haired androgynous boys?
No, it was like this kind of like really ominous kind of building trailer. Like it's a 3-minute long trailer, but most of it is like setting up the story. And one of the coolest thing about Final Fantasy 15, why like many of us in the community really like it, want to get behind it, is it's like entirely different setting to anything we've seen before. It's like a modern, like a semi-modern kind of world. Oh, you know what?
I'm confused. I'm confused between Final Fantasy 15 and remake of 7 or 8.
Whatever. Oh, right. No, yeah. This is 15. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, a really cool remade modern world with like cars and shit. And like
Oh, shit. No, I was thinking of 15. Yes. So the video I saw of them driving cars. Okay, Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's 15. Okay. That is 15.
I saw the trailer that came out. I think it's like a year or two
ago.
Yeah,
that's about right.
It didn't look very good. Oh, for me. It didn't look like a game I wanted to play.
Like, that surprises me. As a person who likes visual novels and like anime, I'm surprised.
But I also don't look like it when my anime characters look like it's trying to be real, and then it looks fucking awful. It's like if they try to make TF2 models in a gritty fucking first person.
I really like the way models look in Final Fantasy 15. Like, it's
For me, it's not the models per se; it's the hair.
Yeah,
it's
the hair doesn't. Yeah,
kills.
I can definitely see, because all of us have seen that. Like, and I'm not being racist here. It's just like what I've seen. Like that. Asian chick
to Japan last
with
summer.
Like
people
fucking,
have like that. That's yeah, people have
exactly,
and I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in a country where
like,
people
hair
are
hair so
hair.
Bleached, it looks brittle and like so like it was so feathered,
so
like they actively
gelled, it looks like a solid piece of thing on
yeah,
your head.
Like like in a video game when they move their head, their hair does like moves perfectly with it, as opposed to like flowing like real hair. It's kind of fucked up. Anyway, like the whole weird like. Feedback loop between anime hair and real life hair is just getting absurd. I don't know. But yeah, like, so the Final Fantasy 15 trailer is just like this really. People are really excited for 15 because of the setting and the demo they put out, which I'll talk about in a second. But like, the story has always looked really intriguing because you're playing this prince who's like taking back his kingdom or something.
Except he's dressed in all black trench coat.
Yeah, for some reason, and he's like in a boy band.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Also that the design, everything, like the stylistic choices for me are
again
just,
like as a person who likes anime, I can't see why you're
yeah, but
having
I don't
this
like
problem.
That kind of, I don't like anime where people are dressed up in like with like their bleached spiky blonde hair and their full black like goth uniform, like fucking
that
fighting
is
dragons.
You just named pexels. Every anime ever.
No. Boku no Pico is about little boys having sexy with each other.
Oh,
it
God,
has nothing
don't.
To do with this.
Don't. But yeah, so it's definitely a case of this trailer was kind of what I wanted from a Final Fantasy yeah. 15 trailer, because it was like, it's just this long, ominous build up, and it's about the main two characters when they're kids and their parents going to war. And it's like just this really emotionally kind of heartfelt kind of charged trailer that is actually kind of really different from a Final Fantasy trailer that you would normally expect, which is normally just like over the top, people flying through the air, like swords connecting and like making massive explosions, that kind of shit. Tekken-esque, if you would, trailers. No, this is like very cinematic and kind of pretty cool. And then finally, the trailer that I thought was probably the biggest deal from Gamescom was the new Mirror's Edge trailer, which they showed. Did you get a chance to see that?
No.
Have you ever been interested in Mirror's Edge?
No.
This kind of
I've only played a little bit of the first one, and then I stopped because I don't like parkour.
So here's the thing, right? Mirror's Edge, I've always loved the look of that game. Never liked the way it played.
Oh, I like the look of the. I love how it looks. Yes, yeah. I will agree with that.
And I originally really loved the the idea of the universe. I was very interested in this Mirror's Edge game. Many people really love this trailer. This trailer actually kind of unsold me on Mirror's
wow,
Edge.
Wow, really? Yeah. What happened?
So it's one of those things where most of this trailer is actually gameplay footage. And there's like a couple of things that stood out. One, and I tried to get the uncompressed version of the trailer. One thing that stood out was the game doesn't look as sharp as it did in some of the more early stuff I've seen. I don't think either that or the goalposts have shifted, which is maybe more likely the case. But like, it just didn't look that good. Everything kind of looked a bit over flat. Like Mirror's Edge looks flat because like the like contrast between like sharp flat shaded colors is kind of what gives it that look. But at the same, like when you have like complex 3D geometry with those colors in it, but also try to make it flat, it just kind of doesn't work in my opinion. Anyway, so yeah, it didn't look that great, but more importantly, it kind of showed a lot of its hand in terms of the story, and that just kind of made me mad at where they're going with it. Because stop me when you've heard something like so heard this before, right? Right. So Faith is running through what seems like 20 to 30 enemy guards firing fully automatic weapons at her, and yet she's dodging all the gunfire and somehow managing to take most of them out through hand-to-hand combat.
Well, I mean, to be fair, right? It's not a realistic game. It's when you're doing jumps like that, you have already left the boundaries of reality, right?
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Is she supposed to be superhuman? Like, I haven't played the first Mirror's Edge. Like, does she have superpowers? I was always under the impression
okay,
that
if you can jump and, like, I mean, she falls very high distances.
Yeah,
and
but
it's okay.
To be fair, like, people can do that. Like, that's not outside the realms of the human ability. Like, some parkour does look almost impossible, even though they're actually doing it in real life. Like, noting that she does tend to jump further than anyone else.
So right.
She's like, literally jumps between skyscrapers and shit. But, like, distances that aren't... The speed she's going at, nor the distance she's traveled, is only slightly super real. It's not, like, incredibly super real. But this was, like, Star Wars level, like, everyone shooting at her and nothing's hitting her kind of bullshit.
Maybe there were stormtroopers.
Yeah, maybe there were stormtroopers. And yeah, that's, like, another thing, like... It's one of those worlds where, like, she sneaks into a skyscraper because one of the windows was left open, and then she, like, runs through the skyscraper, and for some reason there's, like, no security cameras that are obviously, like, showing her, like, revealing her intrusion. And then for some reason she walks up to, like, touch panels, they're clearly like supposed to be like our hand size, so clearly like fucking supposed to be like full hand fingerprint scanner kind of things. And right. It kind of just touches them and they open, even though it's after hours and like shit should be locked down and they should be fingerprint scanning in the first place. And like, she'd kick one of the scanners and that would for some reason close the door and for some reason lock it closed. Like, I'd like stupid little like 1980s esque. Shitty world breaking explanations for dumb stuff she does, which really turned me off.
I don't know, it just seems like I never thought of it as like a game in the realms of possibility.
Yeah,
because when you watch like parkour videos, people are like jumping from like 5 foot obstacles to 5 foot obstacles, right?
Well, if you look at some of the Russian ones, they're like fucking going up.
Yeah, but those people have no like care for their lives, so it's almost different. It's almost video game leveled.
But that's what this is. Like, this is her at that level of like just going full speed all the time, kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know. It's I think another thing that really whizzed me out is her face. I kind of like it's kind of weird in that like she's
really.
I would have preferred it if they went more Asian than this weird kind of like halfway in between, kind of like Asian with white accentuations. If you know what I mean, like if you look at a woman that like the Asian public thinks is very attractive, right? They tend to be very angular, very sharp featured, etc. If you look at a woman that a white culture seems to find very attractive, very like big lush lips, that kind of thing, like more full featured, that kind of thing. And this is kind of like those two bound together in like this weird way, which I think
she looks pretty Asian as an East Asian person.
Yeah she does. She definitely looks Asian. I just would have preferred her to look more Asian. I don't know if that makes me racist. Does that mean I don't know where that stands. But yeah, she looks like a
her eyes me. Need to be smaller.
Maybe
even smaller.
I don't know, because like if you watch like I want
there are Asians
now,
with
but
big eyes.
Yes,
I'm an Asian,
Asian
with small eyes, but they're
Asian.
Also Asian.
I know. I'm well, like definitely like Singaporeans and stuff have larger eyes and that kind of thing. But like yeah, I don't know. It just feels like a half step and like a weird like focus test. She looks focus tested. I think that's my problem with it.
Oh, for sure.
That's my problem with it. She looks focus tested. She looks like
she also looks. Less like an androgynous 12-year-old boy.
I really like the original design of face.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying she looks very different. Like
yes.
She looks, despite this being a prequel, she looks noticeably older, I think, in this one.
I'm actually looking this up now. Faith Mirror's Edge. Let's see if I can. Yeah, I thought the first face was not only prettier, but like, I'm gonna link Noobrama a picture. If you search for Faith, you'll get like Faith Connors. This is gonna really help you for people at home. But you get
What is this? This isn't helping me either because I'm linking it.
So if you look at YouTube, there's a picture called Faith Connors, which is literally her just like looking at the camera from the side on.
Is that the one where it looks really horrible? I don't think that's...
No, I actually prefer that face to the current face. I'm not saying it's prettier, but I think I prefer it. I probably think it's more attractive. I don't know, whatever. It's not really a major deal. I just think she looks too focus tested, so it doesn't work on me. But yeah, so there's like major world conceits that I just don't like about that series. And none of them actually come from, weirdly enough, Noobarama, the Parker itself, because that's like, okay, whatever. Video game Parker. Having played Prince of Persia, I'm kind of like beyond that by now. But like, yeah, just other elements of the world kind of totally pissed me off. A fucking attack helicopter shooting into a building, which have people from the corporation that attack helicopter works for in it. I don't know about you, but you tend to try and not do that to avoid friendly fire.
Right, you can't talk about friendly fire in action games because AI, like the way bad guys are is they're bad, so they don't care about their employees and they fucking nuke their own cities. It's
totally dumb. I think that's a major thing. Like, I'm over that. I'm kind of sick of that kind of shit. Like, not to spoil too much of The Last of Us, but like, part of the reason I really fucking love that game is how relatable the evil people are.
Right.
Like, they're doing shit for a reason.
But also the scale of that game is different, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. That's undeniable. But, like, would it hurt to make the evil people more understandable, more human? I don't know.
But it's... You're not playing the correct game, I think.
Yeah, I'm probably looking for too much from Mirror's Edge, right? I don't know. But it's weird. Like, I'm in a weird place where, like, that's something I'm looking for in video games nowadays, and that I still love Metal Gear Solid, where, like, you literally have, like, a fucking, like comic booky level evil people, like Liquid Snake, or Big Boss, like, these really over the top characters. I don't know. I think it's mainly because in that in-between area where it's neither fully comic booky or realistic, and because of that, it just feels kind of soulless. I don't know. that's the big ones from Gamecom.
I have a few more.
Okay, go ahead. What you got?
Okay, so Halo Wars 2 has been announced.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Are you interested in that?
Well, I didn't really like Halo Wars 1.
Okay.
But Halo Wars 2 is developed by the Creative Assembly, who of course makes the Total War games, and is making the new Warhammer Total War game.
Yes.
And they make solid fucking RTS games.
Yes, so they do.
I'm excited.
So I keep hearing. Yeah, definitely. They seem like a good group of people to do fucking Halo Wars. I don't know why people liked Halo Wars, but I respect that they're making... Like, it was something fans asked for, and they're doing it. So you can't really complain about that, right?
Yes. This isn't Gamescom, but Fallout 4... confirmed to have no level cap, and the main story continues after, or the game continues after the main story ends. That is confirmed.
Oh, so it's gonna be like Skyrim.
Yes.
Cool. That's nice. I love that. Those are good decisions.
Battlefront has its air combat mode. The Star Wars Battlefront. Yeah. Yep. It's not space. It's above the planet, but it is spaceship to spaceship 10v10 mode.
I think dogfighting. Having it above a planet is more interesting.
It is interesting, but the game or the franchise is called Star Wars, and if there are no stars, it sort of defeats it doesn't defeat the purpose. Like, at this point, people associate it more with the classic face of Darth Vader, Stormtroopers.
To be like an upper atmospheric map where it's like just like the like a big world below you, but you're still like kind of in space.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
I think it's essentially to maybe, but they could establish artificial boundaries. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why they don't have space.
Yeah, me neither.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Have you seen? Oh wait, okay. So, Dragon Age Inquisition DLC. The first one is very well received. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The second one is you go into a cave, and I don't like underground scenarios ever. So maybe I don't like it.
Okay.
But have you seen the picture on Time Magazine of virtual reality?
Yeah, that was the news I was going to cut to.
Okay.
So I don't know how to feel about this one. Because
okay, so for those of people who have not seen, let's visually describe this
picture. Okay, yes.
Okay. So imagine the classic Time magazine, you know, the red bar, the red border, the Time, the black font. And then imagine a beach, a nice, you know, very light colored sand beach with beautiful blue waves. And then the Palmer Luckey barefoot in jeans and a turquoise polo jumping and looking up in the air like a duck or a chicken about to make flight with a fucking giant peripheral on his head and a wire to the back. That is the picture they used in Time magazine for what is titled "The Surprising Joy of Virtual Reality."
Paul Malaki is a lovable dude, but he is not a handsome man, nor is
but
he
the
like
is, if the problem isn't him. The problem is the context he's placed in and what he's doing. He's doing this weird chicken jump in
thing
this
is,
weird
the thing
beach
is new. The
I
thing
don't
is
understand.
New. I'm pretty sure, like, if you were to ask me, I bet this was his fucking idea. But I don't think Time magazine took like some random unsolicited photo of Paul Malaki and put it on their cover. I'm pretty sure this is Paul Malaki in crystallized in an image. The problem is that image is not what we need to sell VR to the public. And it's one of those things where, like, on the one hand, it's awesome that Paul Malaki is on the cover of Time magazine, and it's awesome that VR, I think, like, for my general impressions, having not read it, because I'm not much of a Time magazine person, that the article itself is very positive. It's good that VR is being pushed, but, like, people don't aspire to looking goofy ever. Mm-hmm. You can't sell something by having someone look totally fucking goofy.
I mean, it's horrible because it reinforces, like, the idea that VR is for people who are just fucking borderline autistic. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, like, looking at this picture, it's just like, oh, just another fucking fat nerd escaping reality.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come on.
It's one of those things. I'm going to try and find it. Tell me what you think this means for VR going forward while I look for this little article here.
Like the image, like the cover photo?
What does this mean?
I mean, I think VR is like edging towards mainstream, but like the same way, like not to the degree of like vitriolic hate and like suspicion that mainstream has, but it's like when people discover, like when 4chan goes on the news or something like that, it's just like, oh my god, look at this weird fucking, look at these nerds, get a life.
Look
how
at these
crazy
nerds.
They are. They don't have,
I found it. Like, so this is a quote from the Time magazine article. I haven't seen the whole article, but a new gift thread was made about this, and I found it kind of interesting. Paul Malaki, the creator of Oculus Rift, is not your typical nerd, .. That's not the end of the quote. He's cheery and talks in normal sentences that are easy to understand. He was homeschooled, and though he did drop out of college, it was at California State University, Long Beach, where he was majoring not in computer science, but in journalism. He prefers shorts, and his feet are black because he doesn't like wearing shoes, even outdoors. He doesn't look like a guy who's played Dungeons & Dragons so much as a character in Dungeons & Dragons. He's a nerd from a different century working on problems of a different century.
First of all, yes, he fucking looks like someone who plays Dungeons & Dragons. If he was at my high school, I would have shoved him into a locker.
No,
right?
You wouldn't. You would have played Dungeons & Dragons with him.
No, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons.
You haven't played Dungeons & Dragons?
No, I've never actually played.
You kind of should. It's really great.
Yeah, I should. But the thing is, right? What this is, like, look at this fucking nerd. And he's even the most normal nerd. And he's fucking freak. It's just, oh, jeez.
Exactly.
Come on. Like, I would have rather had them use the fucking horrible pictures they had at, like, the Oculus, like, press conference.
Yeah, with this.
Of the lady.
Looking up.
Like, with her head tilted. It's just, like, at least that gives a sense that it's what they're saying is this technology is for the fringe, right? That's what it's coming off as. It's made by people from the fringe, and it's for people from the fringe. And gamers are fucking in the fringe, and they're trying to escape reality.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's definitely one of those things where as VR gets closer to being a thing, it's going to have a long road, like uphill battle to overcome that nerd factor, I guess you could call it.
Yes.
It's the uncool nerds who like this thing. I'm unclear whether being branded as a nerdy thing is that bad in the modern world. Like, for example, I publicly, like at work and other kind of shit, like totally admit in out and open in real, like actual words, like, yeah, I'm a total fucking nerd. I'm gonna go home and read a book. I've said that out loud. And nowadays it's just like no reactions. Like, yeah, cool. Awesome. Just
people read books. That's what people do. Yeah.
It's like totally accepted and, no one finds a will. Now, and I'm in the military. So if you're looking at like a place where there might be some nerd discrimination, there is like none. So like, is being a nerdy thing that uncool?
But I think the thing is, right? As someone who subscribed to Time magazine for like a while and reads enough publications, it's increasingly an irrelevant magazine, right?
Yes.
Like nobody fucking reads magazines anymore unless they're, you know, journals, like, right?
Right.
So it's just like, it's also, it's like part of the thing where it's like mainstream media, like, is always a couple years behind on what people generally know, right? So I don't know.
Yeah. So like that was the first.
I mean, it's not targeting young people. It's targeting people who are like middle aged, and exactly. It's like, oh,
and
virtual reality.
Do they really matter? Does the 40 to 50-year old, maybe later?
No, because they're never the ones who are going to. These are not the people who are going to be the purchasers of these. They're not the primary market.
Yeah.
But like the problem is will this leak into younger generations who are not necessarily gamers, but it would actually be useful in general as an entertainment platform.
And that's my point B. Like the people who would see this or the people who'd have that uphill battle to fight as to whether it's cool before they even try it, those aren't the people that are going to be heralding the first and second or third generations of VR. The people who are going to be doing that is people like us who have way too much expendable income and... Yeah. Like tech and want to actually experience the future early, like that kind of group of people.
Early adopters. Yes,
we're not going to be discouraged by a picture of Parmalucky doing a
because we're not invested, but we're coming into this knowing what this is, right?
Yes,
I assume like the surprising joys of virtual reality for a lot of people. This will be like their first like full understanding of what really VR is, and like I'm sure people have heard it in like the fringe and like, you know, a column on BBC or something like that, but like just glance the headline, but because it's like a big front page,
like when Facebook bought Oculus, that was like a headline, but that's pretty much the last time they would have heard a big thing about VR.
And it is like, is this what you want to start the foot off, like is this where you want to start off VR?
And the question is, like,
jumping in the sand.
If we take this as a crystallization of what the current older generation, like public furniture view of VR is today, is that even like a thing to be remotely concerned about? Because what will necessitate VR happening is those first couple generations getting into it, making it better, making it bigger, and actually selling it by word of mouth and actually getting people to try it. That will overcome anything because it doesn't matter.
Like an Android phone. Android devices are a perfect example. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think for the Oculus Rift and specifically, I guess, it's not as big of a deal because it's marketed towards video gamers. It's not even just young people in general. It's people who play video games. So to a certain degree, yes, they're fan base, they're, you know, the people who are actually going to buy this, mm-hmm. it's not actually, it's pretty inelastic. People aren't going to be like, oh, fucking, what a nerd. I don't want to be a nerd. I'm not going to buy one of these things.
And that's the thing. Like, if it's like, oh, nerd, I don't want to be a nerd, whatever. All you have to do is put a headset on them. And this is one of those technologies which are just like, immediately flip that switch. For most people, immediately flip that switch and make them go, oh, wait, no, this is fucking incredible.
But the sad thing is, right, it this proves that it's still going to be in the French. Like, the only things that we're going to see in the next few years of VR is, oh, fucking nerds playing video games, escaping reality. And it's like, oh, look at this device that makes your child a sexual deviant by having them be first person watching porn.
Yeah,
like,
how can you tell what they're watching if they're doing it in VR?
Exactly. And it's going to be like all over again, like, oh, fucking video games are one thing, but VR fucks up your brain. It makes you can't decipher reality from, you know, virtual reality.
It's going to be like everything fucking else in history where, like, video games are still maligned, but less so, right? It's
less so than even like 10 years ago.
Yeah. And this is like, what, 30 to 40 years into video game history. It takes a while for new formats to establish themselves as legitimate. And we're going to have to go through those growing pains. Like, thankfully, we're young enough that within our lifetimes, it'll probably be the case where almost everyone will have a VR headset at home. I think VR is going to be that big. Unless holograms somehow become a thing, VR is going to be the next major step, in my opinion. And but it will have to go through that case of, it's for nerds to, only like people, like they're going to have that basement nerd. The basement nerd's going to come back. Instead of him being like playing Nintendo, it's going to be him hooked up to VR.
Yeah.
Right? But whatever.
Furiously masturbating.
Yeah. Because, well, of course he would be.
Yes. He's a fucking nerd.
He's a nerd. But yeah, it's going to happen. But we're the people who are in the know, which I think is kind of makes us like it sounds like we're in a club. It's because we kind of are in a club. I find it fun to think that like a couple other things in my life, like as a younger kid, for example, playing video games, as you said, like 10 years ago was different to playing it is now. And playing them through primary school to the point where we're like, my parents were like, oh, I guess like he wants a PlayStation, so I guess I'll buy him one, even though it's bad for him. To nowadays where I'm playing a game and my dad's just watching over my shoulder and just like following along and stuff. Like the world changes, and it's really fun to be part of that change. It's really fun to be a part of that change. I cannot wait to, like, one of the first things I'm going to do is get, when I get like Vive later this year, is put it on my parents' heads and go, look at this shit. Look, it's so fucking cool. Assuming they don't get sick, it's going to be pretty, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It's going to be good. Yeah.
That was the thing. Like, I wish we'd read the article, but again, I'm not going to go out there and buy a Time magazine.
No, don't do that. You would be like one of the five people in the world who are reading that article physically.
Yeah, so that's essentially it. Like, that was the next big piece of news. I found like the internet reaction to that Pamelaki photo kind of fun to watch, because part of nerd culture is that like deeply ingrained sense of like being victimized for some reason.
Yes.
Like, it's...
Well, because it's not surprising. It's like you associate video games with nerds, and then you immediately associate nerds with being in a locker.
Yeah. Well, you do. I associate nerds with just being kind of like,
well, but in, like introverted, being the underdogs, right? Yeah. Generally speaking, underdogs, and it just, you have the sense of like, oh fuck, it's nerds again, getting in the short end of the stick.
Yeah, but then like, I love that because it reminds me of how inconsequential high school was.
Yeah.
Like, aside from the fact that I made everlasting friendships and like my friends today are still friends, my best friends from high school, the world of people in high school is just a totally different world. It's got nothing
All I got was things to pad my resume with.
And like, in terms of experiences, the biggest thing in your world in high school, unless it's like a death of a parent or something like actually important, is meaningless when you get outside of high school. It kind of reminds
me of
that.
Unless you fail to graduate, that's probably quite meaningful.
Exactly. Yes. But it totally reminds me of that because, like, the high school image of a dude gets shoved in the locker because he's a nerd is so invalidated by the fact that, like, 10 years later, he's at, like, a senior management position in an IT firm getting, like, $1 million a year. Like, it's...
Also, fucking everyone plays video games now in high school.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
Most of my friends play video games, and mm-hmm. they were not nerds, I will say that. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't, you know, they mostly played sports, but they had an Xbox 360, they had whatever, PS4, they played mm-hmm. Skyrim,
yeah.
they played all of those games, and they weren't into nerdy stuff. They mm-hmm. just enjoyed them for what they are. And video games, because everybody in our generation plays video games, it yeah. will simply just be a normal thing, like a movie. By yeah. the time, you know, all of the old people die out.
Absolutely. And it's, I think as I'm getting older, not to say I'm that old, I'm only 27, but whatever. I'm starting to realize that, like, humans, like, in terms of just, like, their likes and dislikes and whatever, are kind of like this weird thing where when you're younger, it's scattered all over the place. But as you get older and you get more experience and experience more things, everyone starts, like, your experience broadens and everyone's experiences start overlapping to the point where, like, there's, like, this kind of, like, well-rounded individual, like, this epitome yep. of a well-rounded person, and everyone just kind of drifts closer to that as they get older, in my opinion. Unless they're really obstinate or racist or whatever. But, like, it's like one of those things where, like, at some point when you're, like, 25 or 30, like, you start to realize that, hey, one thing, like, your parents are people. Second thing,
yeah.
People are just people, and it doesn't matter what they look like. The third thing, like, it doesn't matter what people look like. Sorry, like doing with their time. If they're good people, then it doesn't, like, they're just good people.
Just leave people alone.
Yeah, and like you start respecting other like forms of medium. Like I like as an example of this in this very episode, I can sit here and go, yeah, Dota's not for me, but it is still probably one of the best
Absolutely.
Games ever made.
Yep.
Like I can recognize that because as you get older, you start
that
realizing
other people have opinions. Yes.
Yeah. One of the most important things that happens to you as you grow up is that you slowly realize that everything you thought for the first 15 years of your life is wrong. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with that little like intellectual moment, we're going to move on. I think that's it for with the show. I have to move and leave in like 20 minutes, but I'm pretty sure we wrapped up with that.
Yeah, so that picture, that horrible picture. Yes.
Any plugs?
I guess it would be Fate Zero, that anime. It's really good. If
Fuck
you like
yeah.
animus, especially to you, Zenik, or anybody who's played the Fate Stay Night and has not watched Fate Zero, it is really, really good. And yeah. I highly recommend it. And of course, as always, PC Gaming Hub forever.
Nice. I will include a link to the Reddit thread I used to decipher what the fuck Fate's Day series is all about. It's like literally the start of the video is like, do you only want to watch the anime, then watch it in this order, or and don't watch these ones? Do you want to do the anime and the visual novel series, then do it in this order? Or do you want to play the visual novels? Well, okay, so this is the things you have to download, the things right. you have to look for, the patch you want, and that, all that kind of stuff. And there's like a thread that just lists all that out. So I'll put that in the show notes for Fate Stay Night. Do I recommend it more than, say, like a good book like the Mistborn series or something like that? No, absolutely not. But if you're in the mood for a visual novel, then it's, yeah, sure, check it out. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. But my second plug for this week would be a book called... And this is one of those things where, like, this is always running through my mind and it'll come up every couple of weeks. I read a book this week called Salt, Sugar, Fat. How They Fooled Us, I think it was something like that, one of those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found it through YouTube in like a section that was like business stuff. So it's about the processed food industry and how they manipulate advertising, food formulas, government lobbying, and all that kind of stuff to push what the food industry is like today. It isn't as negative as something like food.inc, I think it was the documentary, which is all about like the processed meat industry and how fucked up that is. This is more like, okay, so there's people within the industry who are actively trying to make things better, and there's many people in there who are like have the best intentions, but there's also this other side of it of like, yes, you can have good intentions, but if you don't meet your stock demands, then you'll lose the money and like all the kind of stuff. And kind of like, it's pretty like well-rounded view of it. I do have some significant reservations about salt, sugar, fat, because obviously my view on nutrition is different from the public norm. An update for that, I'm now down to 71.5 kilos, which means I've lost a total of fucking 16 and a half or roughly 37
pounds.
Just by eating fucking mostly meat. So take that for what you will. But yeah, so.
Well, it's once you add carbs or sugar where it all fucks up after that, right?
Exactly. I eat a very, very low carb diet. And for various reasons, I can go into the science, but I've done that before, so I won't. But yeah, so I have reservations about some of his views in salt, sugar, fat. But it's definitely worth reading. At least for like things like interesting observations, like kids eat food because of what it looks like and its packaging, whereas adults eat food for what it tastes like. And it's like a weird transition period through your teens where that kind of swaps over, and like the science behind that. Like really interesting stuff is in this book. So definitely recommend it. So there you go. Fate's Day Night, Fate Zero, Salt, Sugar, Fat, and the Gaming Hub. Thank you for listening. Hey. What's up?
No, I mean, like, hey, 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 as in goodbye.
That's a... What? Is that an anime thing?
No, I don't know why I said that. Is that like KKK?
Because KKK has never made sense to me.
No, the KKK is a racist group from the South that originated from the Reconstruction during the Civil War. But close.
Thanks for that. No, I meant like the stupid anime K-E-K-E-K-E, which for some reason represents laughter, which I've never...
I think that's more like cackling.
Is it?
More than laughter. Yeah, probably. Or something like that. I don't know.
Thanks for listening, and goodbye.